Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good rainy Friday morning to you, and welcome into ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in Bellevue. On the west side, Elijah Campbell manning things down back at Network Control Studios, which is at 1824 Murfreesboro Road. Our Wholesale Link Game Studios, to be exact, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, today is your birthday. Today is your birthday, as they say. It's not really your birthday. It's our birthday. 9 years celebrating today, and we're going to make a lot of people, hopefully, very, very happy today. Reward people with some really, really cool prizes. So let me just start out of the gates with happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. I guess technically it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, correct.
But we're celebrating today.
We're not going to work tomorrow just to celebrate the actuality of 9 years. So we'll do it today.
Yes, yes. And I think that's smart. So
good plan. Ready, break.
Hey, work smarter, not harder. That's what I say. But yeah, it's been fun, and I think what's so cool about this show, because obviously Darren, you were the first voice that everybody heard on that day on August 29th, you and Brad Hopkins of the first quarter.
First quarter, there you go.
Yep, Jeremy Benefield on the.
Do we have that open, Elijah? Can you be searching for that while Chase is talking?
I have.
We don't have that already queued up. I mean,
no,
what's going on? What's wrong?
I have tried to find it, and I
oh,
don't know
it's
where
there.
It went.
We've had it.
I know we've had it. I just don't know where it went.
Oh no!
So we're off. Come on. What happened?
But we'll see. We'll see if we can find it before the show is over. I know it was time
before
to play
the show
the game.
Is over. I was looking for this segment.
Well, I mean, I'm not at the studio. Elijah wasn't here. I mean,
he wasn't here in 2011.
Was Elijah even born? Like,
I was only a junior in high school at that point in time.
You weren't even listening because you were in school.
Well, he was in school, but that doesn't mean he didn't, you know, jump on an app or, you know, sneak off to a room that had a radio and say,
did they have
check
apps
out this
I don't think we had an app 9 years ago.
An iPhone, then.
We didn't?
No.
We had it in the first year. We did have it in the first year at some point.
Yeah. No,
we did. But actually, by the time I got there, I think we had an app within days.
Really?
It didn't always work, but we tried.
It was there.
It was the primitive stages. You know, we had to start somewhere.
Well, because I remember Willie. So, just a history for everybody. Darren, obviously, the first voice that you heard with Brad. Willie came over about 3 months later. So, in November, he and Joe Dubin started the afternoon show, The Sports Revolution. And I joined as an intern, like, their first week, something like that. And Willie is trying to figure out Twitter. And had not done Twitter before, but Twitter was new. I mean, I think Twitter had been around a couple of years because I remember Darren got on and I had it but barely used it.
I got on in 2010. Yeah,
probably. So you had it just before you came over. But Willie was like, look at it. I could just see this look on his face, and I barely knew. I knew Willie from, you know, your past stop and going to remotes and then the Preds and all of that. And I just remember going, Willie, what's up? You look troubled. And he's trying to figure out Twitter. And so that's when I stepped in and helped him figure out Twitter. But that's some of my early memories. But the point of that is the three of us I guess, we have been here the longest, obviously. You were the first one, Darren, but this show as a collective has been here the longest, so it's kind of fun to be able to celebrate today.
I was actually, the first talks, if you want to do a little history lesson, was July of 2010. I met with Troy Hansen, who was then the operations manager, and I gave him the pitch, which I believe, I wish I had that in front of me. I think it was a 16-page proposal, and since we'll do trivia in the final hour, I'll ask you guys this trivia question. Well, I named the station, everything. I had, you know, you had to come with proposal of this is what it could be. Do you remember the name of the station in my proposal in 2010 to Bud Walters and Troy Hansen? Bud Walters being our owner. 102.5, 102.5. Oh, you do know. Okay.
I know. I want to see if Willie knows.
I've heard you tell this story, and I can't remember. Was it the score?
Was it the score? Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Elijah doesn't know if it's right or wrong.
Game trivia.
It is correct.
102.5 the score.
102.5 the score. And the reason that it wasn't 102.5, it did not become 102.5 the score, is? Anybody remember?
And wasn't it trademarked?
That's right.
You had to pay. So, like you had to
pay,
pay
for it. Yeah. Yep.
There you go. There
we go. Wow. Wait, we're rolling.
I'm one for one.
This is good.
So, Darren, confirm if this, because I do think I remember this. So, Jeremy K. Gover just texted me. He goes, I broke the news of 102.5 the game and the Preds coming to the Buzz, because the Preds were on the Buzz their first year
with us. Mm-hmm.
That he broke that on section303.com.
He did. That is absolutely true.
Wow. I didn't know that. Well,
I had been
now
doing.
Now that he said it, I vaguely remember it. But
I had been doing the hosting of the pre and post game, what Darren does today on the game in the months before I actually joined the station full time. But I actually had done the games on the Buzz the year before. And I was very thankful that all of the people involved allowed me to keep that role, which I had for a long, long time, wherever the Predators had gone in terms of what stations they've been on over the years. I've kind of followed them where they've gone on several different stations. So it was a fairly seamless transition at that point. So it's just interesting to look back on history. At the time, Darren, I think we all felt, because we had been in the same stops going back, way back, several stations, that Nashville was ready for a second 24-hour FM talk radio station.
Yep.
Right? The town was growing. We needed more, and I think it's been the best thing. That's what I hope everybody appreciates. It's not about us, per se. We're patting ourselves on the back. We put in 9 good years here. We've built a really good nucleus. We've got a great foundation that we've built for a long time with our identity as a station, and the Predators have been a partner from the very, very start. You know, we've had a great partnership with Middle Tennessee. We're building one with Vanderbilt now that's come over. We've got a great new partnership with Nashville SC. You know, I feel like we've been very progressive in trying to grow the sports market in Nashville, and that's what I hope people appreciate about what we've done the last 9 years.
So I don't know if I've ever actually told this story on air before. I think you guys have heard it. But as I mentioned, my first gig in the building was an internship, and then it led to a job, and I never left. Or as Jeremy used to say, they put a saucer of milk out, and I wouldn't leave. So I had actually...
Which is that's pretty fun.
It's
characterization.
It's great. It's something that I have always incorporated in like a bio, or because that's Jeremy's favorite line for me.
By the way, when you threw that line out there, you say, as you say, that actually was Troy Hansen used to say that all the time. That's where that came from. Don't work harder, work smarter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember him saying that. So
he used to say that all the time.
So I had gotten to the point in college that it was time to do an internship. And so I had spent the early part of that fall of 2011 looking at internships. And as you guys know, I listened to a specific afternoon show that you guys know quite well. And so that was you guys. That was what I wanted. Well, I wanted to make sure, you know, somebody be like, well, why is he telling them about another show? So that was going to be my plan. And I had started, you know, the process of interning at your previous stop. And Darren, you obviously had left before, but I was going to go try and do an internship with Willie and George. And then word starts getting out about the game and that this could be a possibility. And so I just remember seeing Willie at a Preds game and I go, well, hey, I'm going to send my stuff in for an internship. And Willie's like, you might want to hold off on that for a second. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I can't tell you, but you might want to hold off on that for a second. And
that was good advice.
It was. It was great advice. So I did. And a week later, I found out why I needed to hold off. And then got in touch with Jeremy Benefield, and the rest, they say, is history. So went and saw Willie at, I think the first remote that you guys were doing was like at Rippey's before a Preds game. And I had gotten the internship, and I went in there and I was like, yep, going to be your intern. You're stuck with me.
I remember that.
We had just, in fact, was it the first day? I'm being a little fuzzy here, but wasn't Kentucky playing Western Kentucky, I think, at Nissan Stadium? I think that's right.
That sounds that weekend.
Yeah,
because the whole idea
we
was
just started. I think it was Kentucky and Western Kentucky at Nissan Stadium. I'm pretty sure it was either the first week.
We aired some Western Kentucky games, so I wonder if we were airing that.
I don't know if it was Western or if it was Kentucky. Remember, don't forget we've
no, but Kentucky came. Kentucky came later.
Okay.
But in the early, early days, we did air some because, as you guys know, like when you start from scratch, I mean, there were times where it was filling programming. We aired old Preds games from the first year at the Buzz.
Absolutely. It was like the early days of ESPN. Where you see the same game like four times, and you know you got Australian rules football on there and the rodeo. Yeah.
Because our ESPN affiliation didn't start for. That's a couple correct. Months.
We
after.
Had a couple months of yeah, yep. So, some serious creativity.
Lots of that was the start of Preds Replay, right? We've done it 9 years later, still doing it. It's still a big hit. 9 years later,
yeah,
it's really cool.
So we had that, and then Aaron Solomon did our first afternoon show until Willie came over. Joe was still at Channel 2, but doing a 1 hour show. The Joe Dubin podcast. I remember that.
Yep.
So, the first year of the game, there's a book.
We got stories.
There's a book.
Some we've told, some we have not.
And some I'll tell we you just what, may not.
Congrats to, and Gover's right. He did break that story, and congrats to him. My guess is he had a pretty good source on that one. He probably sourced that out pretty darn good. So good job by Gover. And for Bud Walters, we thank you. I wish you wouldn't have waited a year. You know, I was kind of hoping you'd do that in 2010. But nonetheless, you pulled the trigger and you said yes in 2011. And it was because of you the game exists. So thank you for that. So that's what we're doing today. We got a lot of things to get to, but we're going to have great prizes to give away throughout our show. So be listening
every hour.
Throughout. Every hour we're going to give cool stuff away, just kind of celebrating and thanking you for 9 great years in this market. When we come back, Joe Fisher, the voice of Vanderbilt. Of course, Vanderbilt now under our umbrella, the home of the Commodores. We'll talk to Joe Fisher. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, we're going to ask you to call in at some point this hour and reward somebody with a great prize and say thanks for listening. Back here on Darren Donick in Chase, now joined by the voice of Vanderbilt Commodores. We're the new home for the Commodores, and there's going to be a new show you need to check out Monday night, starting at 7 p.m., the Commodore Hour, and I believe one Joe Fisher will be behind the mic. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. That's what I'm told. They said that we're excited to do it, excited with the new partnership, and we'll be starting our new one-hour broadcast or one-hour Commodore Hour show from 7 to 8 this coming Monday night.
When people tune in starting Monday during that hour, what can they expect to hear?
Well, it's not going to be the typical one-hour coaches show with just Derek Mason. I think Derek will still be, and football will still be, a very significant part of the show during the course of the football season. But it also will offer us some opportunities to have some other facets of the athletic department, other programs, other coaches, other players, and obviously other maybe even past Vanderbilt student athletes. And also, I think maybe even some Vanderbilt alumni in other areas when they are timely to visit and talk about things. So I think it gives us some flexibility to not just get into the 1 hour of just talking about football, which is great and love to do that, and Derek is terrific in that regard, but also to maybe branch out and cover some other things too. Our first show coming up next Monday, I think right now the plan will be the first half hour of the program will be Coach Mason and me. And then in the second half, I'm planning to have my first sit-down interview with our new chancellor, Daniel Dearmeyer. So I think a lot of folks are going to want to look forward to hearing from him. We plan to spend a couple of segments on the show with him. So I'm really looking forward to having that opportunity Monday night.
Is this your – I'm really intrigued by that. Is this your first real interaction with him, or has there been – has there been more to leading up to this point? And if so, what do you think?
Well, for me, yes, it will be. Actually, this social distancing and all, you know, guys, I have not been to my office since the middle of March. That's how, I mean, the campus was, we were really kind of ahead of the curve, if you will, in some ways when they shut down the campus and closed down the offices. So we began working remotely very early on. And I still am. So I still haven't been back. You know, practices are closed. Obviously, they're trying to be as protective as possible with the players. And so at least up till this point, I haven't really been back on campus that much. So, yeah, that's another reason I know I'm looking forward to speaking with the chancellor. I know that he, after he came on board, I think he made a concerted effort to at least do Zoom meetings with all the coaches. I think he wanted to meet with all of them, whether individually or collectively. It meant a lot to him to get involved in that. And so I'm looking forward to talking to him about that and just generally, you know, what he's looking forward to and his thoughts and ideas about not only athletics but the university in general.
Willie and I, Joe, can relate to the not being at the office since the middle of March. We have not been there either, and I think there's a reason behind. I think Chase and Ryan Porth keep telling us to stay home and not come there because I think we're getting cool stuff sent to the office in our name, and I think they're just taking it. And they're like, yeah, you
there's no doubt.
The office.
I have not gotten. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
You know?
I can't imagine.
They're keeping all the cool stuff. I really feel that way. Like, I think, Willie, there's probably been a Predators, you know, Winter Classic jersey sent in our name, and it's long gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who knows? Vanderbilt may have sent us some stuff. It's long gone. And those guys are just walking around with some cool stuff. And they're like, yeah, no need to come in. Nothing's here.
They'll screw up and wear it in the station at some point, and then you'll have them. So there you go.
Yep. My McFarland jersey.
The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, you know, is unfortunately, like you said, because of everything we've been going through, it's been pushed and pushed and pushed, and they're going to actually have kind of their virtual ceremony this weekend, and Perry Wallace is going to get recognized for this. And I wish Perry, the three of us, you, we know Andrew Marinus, and certainly his history with Perry Wallace, we got to spend some great and valuable time around. I wish he was here with us today to kind of still talk about these issues, but nonetheless, he will be recognized this weekend around the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame banquet.
You know, one of the things I remember when I think of Perry is when he came back, when he was honored at Memorial Gym and the whole jersey, you know, and all of that. I remember Kevin Stallings talking about inviting Perry to come and speak to his team. And he said it was the most amazing time that he has been through in a long time with his team, just listening to this man and what he had been through and his perspective and his thoughts. And he said it was a phenomenal experience for all those young men to hear him. And I'm glad he got the opportunity to do that. I'm glad that Vanderbilt got the opportunity to recognize him in such a fine way, you know, while he was still, you know, with us. I'm glad that that happened. But, you know, that's a man whose impact will continue. And you're right, you know, Darren, it would be really interesting if he were around right now to be able to hear his perspective on what's going on, you know, culturally and around the country. It would be certainly interesting and fascinating to hear what he had to say.
100%. You brought up Kevin Stallings. Last thing on my end. How about Jacob with the Pirates? I mean, every time I look up when he's playing, he's having an impact.
He had a game-winning hit yesterday.
Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, good for him. I don't know if we saw that coming or not, but, man, it is – I'm really impressed with how Jacob Stallings has played at the major league level, and I know Kevin, he's got to be smiling from earlobe to earlobe every single day.
Oh, you know he is, and I think this is me personally, and I like Jacob a lot. I fortunately, you know, have a son who's about the same age, and those two actually ended up, you know, played against each other in middle school and all that. So, and I went to a lot of Jacob's games when he was in high school. I would go and sit, you know, with Kevin, and we would watch, you know, BA play, and I really enjoyed those times. I don't think there was any question that when he got the opportunity to go to the Pirates, he had the major league arm. He had the major league defense. The question was whether his bat was going to be enough to keep him there. And he has worked really, really hard over the course of his time there, and now has developed into a pretty solid hitter. And I think as a result, you know, when he got in, he was kind of platooning behind the plate. They'd get him working in every once in a while. He's a mainstay back there now. And, you know, I was watching the other night, as you said, you know, with a big hit, in a game, had one again last night. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch him develop.
Yeah, he is the starting catcher. Now I'll always remember, I always flash back when I see him do something, Joe, to the very first press conference that, when Kevin Stallings was introduced as the basketball coach. You probably were there up in that the parking garage, the old Commodore. What they call that? The Commodore Club,
the old,
up there.
Oh gosh, you're right. I remember that very well. We had a lot of functions up there.
Yeah, a lot of functions, and he was walking around with Todd Turner's son. Your son was probably kicking around there too. Just it's just funny to think back, and here he is at age 30. He's got an everyday job doing a tremendous job. So Joe, let's fast forward now to the present for football. We see the challenges that every school on every campus is going through. Had to take a couple of days not practicing, now getting back out there, especially trying to put all these new pieces together with the new offensive system and such. Give us your thoughts on how you think they're doing given the circumstances.
I think given the circumstances, Willie, they're doing pretty well. I think Derek has been pleased with what he has seen so far. I think that anybody that went into this coming back and bringing the players back to campus had to figure that it would be almost impossible to not have a case or several cases, you know, show up amongst your team or your staff or your personnel. I think it would have been naive to think that wasn't going to happen. I do think one thing they have done, because I have seen what they put in place, the protocols they put in place at Magoogan, at the facilities, to try to make it as absolutely safe as possible. I think they're very good at adapting and changing. If they see something that maybe wasn't working as well as they thought it would, or they come up with an idea they think will work better, I think they've been, you know, doing that. With the entire student population coming back to campus, I think that adds an element to it too. Reminding these players to really, you know, I know you're 18, 19, 20, up to, you know, 22 or so years old, and a lot of these guys think that they're almost bulletproof. You know, you have got to be diligent in what they're telling you to do in terms of social distancing and wearing a mask and not going to these parties that we already hear, you know, have happened around so many places, and just being smart, because you're not only impacting yourself, you're impacting your entire team. You may be impacting more than just your team. So I think these guys have a lot of responsibility on them to take care of business. But right now, I think Derek is pretty pleased overall with the way things are going.
Anytime you bring in a new offense, you have the element of surprise at your disposal. You have a lot of, you know, a blank canvas. There's not a lot of people coming back that have established numbers that they're going to know about. So what do you think? This could be fun to watch, especially in a spread situation. Some of the concepts that we've heard the coach talk about. Tell me what you've seen with the offense so far.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it is more of a spread offense. You know, the sad part about all, among several sad parts, this was the ideal time to have a full spring practice, you know, to be able to get those quarterbacks a full spring of work, to be able to start making some decisions, you know, ideally so you could have come back for your preseason fall practice and kind of had an idea of how your quarterback situation was going to lay out. They didn't get that opportunity. So that's all kind of being done now and competing now. I think what will show up in this is a couple of things. I think there's depth at running back, although you lose the great talent of a Keyshawn Vaughn, but there are guys back there that I think they have a lot of confidence in, and it's not just one. I think with the combination of Wakefield and Brooks and Marlowe, I think they feel pretty good about what they have back there. I think this will also be an opportunity to show off some depth at wide receiver. You've got a number of guys who took a big step last year, you know, although a lot of them were in the shadow of Kalijah Lipscomb. I think you've got some guys who have a potential to be big play guys who have a chance to flourish, you know, in this offense. I think something that's kind of been not thought about that much is that they've got a real challenge in solidifying the offensive line. You know, a couple of guys that were expected to come back and probably either start or have some significant playing time that already had a lot of experience opted out because of the COVID-19 situation, which is certainly understandable. But that, you know, put another emphasis on trying to find somebody to step right in. That's going to be an issue that Todd Fitch is going to have to try to deal with as well. But I think it's an offense that has a chance to open up and get a lot of different people involved, not be built around just one or two guys, and hopefully could be a lot of fun to watch.
Do you think that they're close to knowing who the quarterback is going to be? How many people are in the mix?
Well, if you listen to Derek, four. I'm not sure that that's the case. In terms of being close to knowing, I think they have a preliminary idea of how they think this is going to play out, but they're going to go through a couple more weeks of practice and competition and let these guys kind of slug it out a little bit and see if one of them kind of takes command and goes clearly ahead of the others. I don't think that's happened yet. So I think if you walked in and asked them right now if they knew for sure who their starting quarterback is, they probably would tell you no. They, you know, they would probably say, have a pretty good idea. I think we know how we're leaning, but there's still some pretty valuable practice time between now and that first game in College Station before they have to make that decision.
Talking to Joe Fisher, the voice of the Commodores. The Commodore Hour debuts Monday at 7 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and you'll be able to hear Vanderbilt games on our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits. So, Joe, as you kind of look at the coaching staff, as you guys were talking about a little bit there, Jovan Hay, who's a Vanderbilt legend, played there. He knows the lay of the land. He's been on the coaching staff for a couple of years now. Because of his history with the university, having played there and knowing that aspect of it, how beneficial has it been to have him on the staff?
Oh, I don't think that ever hurts. You know, a guy that has been through it and knows how the university works, knows I would say not only the hurdles that you have to clear, but the positives that you have to sell. I think that's a big plus. You know, there have been a number of guys who have come through here that have spent time on this staff that kind of had that. A Chris Marv, you know, comes to mind. I think it's pretty important for these young men that they coach to be able to have a guy stand in front of them and say, I've been where you've been. I know how this works. And you can succeed at this if you do these things. I don't think there's any question that he's earned that spot where he is right now, and I think the guys really, really enjoy playing for him.
Speaking of people that know Vanderbilt, know the lay of the land, Candace Lee, of course, definitely is one of those, having been there for so long, played there as well. Do you think that in some ways, obviously, this time not being around people, the social distancing, as she just got this job, the interim tag taken off, has obviously had some negatives because she hasn't been able to be as visible and around as much. But do you also think there's some positives that there hasn't been as much pressure, so she's been able to work behind the scenes and grow into the role a little bit and also work on some planning for the future?
I don't know, Chase. The pressure is so different because the landscape changed, so much. For a long time, as you guys remember, before the COVID pandemic hit, there was so much pressure on, okay, whoever's coming in there, what are they going to do about facilities? What are they going to do about a stadium? I mean, they've got to do this, and you've got to raise money, and you've got to do these things. And all of that, the focus really, although it didn't totally go away, certainly changed, because then it became, how are we going to get ourselves in a position to be able to play? What are we going to do, for these student athletes? What are we going to do? Are we going to have the guys on campus, or is it going to be virtual learning? And so everything sort of changed in that regard. The focus changed. So I don't know that being out of the spotlight, if you want to call it that, has made any tangible difference, because in a lot of ways they've sort of been in the spotlight on a regular basis with every call that the conference has made in terms of, yes, we're going to go forward. Yes, this is our plan. Go into the 10-game schedule, deciding how many fans are going to be in the stands, deciding whether – the student athletes were going to be able to be on campus, deciding whether the other sports were going to have a chance to start, which just came out yesterday. So the ADs have been fully involved in all of that every step of the way. So, no, I don't think there's ever any reduction in the pressure. Maybe there's a little bit of a reduction in the spotlight, but I think she's done a marvelous job of stepping in to obviously a tremendously difficult situation and maneuvering through this and helping lead this athletic department through a very challenging time.
I don't know how much of an answer you have to this, but I'm just curious of your point of view, your job of, going into this unique season. And Willie has, added some perspective of kind of what he did with the Predators when the Predators resumed play. But clearly some things are going to be different from how you get ready for a game and, the access that we have and all of that. How much have you thought about that? How many conversations have you had of what it's going to be like from the broadcaster's standpoint as you get ready for the season?
Well, it's ironic or interesting you mention that. Just earlier this week, almost all of the SEC broadcasters, we kind of got on an email thread basically saying, what do you think you guys are going to do? Are you going to be able to host? Are you going to be able to be in the stadium to broadcast? Are you going to have to do it from a remote location, from a studio? Are you going to travel to away games? Are you going to travel with the team? Are you going to travel separately? How much access do you have at practice? From my standpoint, the combination of pregame, which means pregame interviews with our coordinators, usually with a player or two, certainly with a head coach. Also for the daily reports that I'll be doing starting here in a couple of weeks, you have to have some access to the players to be able to do that. Is that going to be done remotely? Are we going to be able to have a sideline report on the broadcasts? All these things are being discussed. And right now I can tell you that, we're hoping that we'll be, in person for the games at Vanderbilt Stadium. We plan to travel with the team, or travel, probably won't travel with the team. If we travel, we'll likely travel separately. That seems to be a thread that's pervasive throughout the entire conference. I don't think anybody's really planning on going with the team. So, yes, we've thought a lot about it. Yes, we've discussed a lot of different scenarios, and really, like everybody else has done, having to go through scenarios with no fans in the stands, with 25% attendance in the stands. You have to go through all of that. We're doing the same thing in terms of, can we be on site? If we're not on site, where can we do it from? So all that's going on, and we're at a point now where we're starting to have to, and hopefully by I would say by next week, everybody will kind of have their plan in place on how they're going to proceed.
Once again, the Commodore Hour, Monday starting at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8. Once again, who are you going to have on, Joe, so people can check it out?
Yep, plan it for the first show on Monday night at 7. We'll have Coach Derek Mason with us, and we'll also have Vanderbilt's Chancellor Daniel Deermeyer for our first really sit-down interview with him. So looking forward to that.
Very good. Check it out Monday evening, 7 to 8, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this. Continue to be safe and have a great weekend.
Look forward to being with you guys. Thank you very much.
Same right back at you. Joe Fisher, longtime voice at Vanderbilt. You need to check out that hour Monday night, the Commodore Hour, from 7 until 8 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. All right, I'm just going to tell you right now, we told you all week, you have to be listening today. You're going to have to be listening all day. Right now is the time for you to load up the phone lines. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. And just, Elijah, just get their names. That's all we need. And what we're going to do is we're going to give, we told you every hour we're going to have really, really cool prizes to give away. Willie is going to ask a trivia question either about the hit king, Pete Rose, or Nolan Ryan, who everybody feared. And how many no-hitters did he throw?
Seven.
Seven, right? So it's either going to be a Nolan Ryan or a Pete Rose question. And if you get it right, just listen to this. You just have to get one question right about either Pete Rose or Nolan Ryan. You're going to get an autographed signed baseball. Actually, you're going to get two. One ball is going to be signed by Pete Rose. The other ball is going to be signed by Nolan Ryan. Hello.
That's a heck of a prize.
Hello. I'd actually like to have
hello.
Those. Like I really would like to push those to the side and offer something else up, and I'd like to have those. Do we have more? Do we have extras?
I don't think we do. Do you have?
Let me ask you something. Just be totally honest. If they sent two Pete Rose balls, do you think two made it into the prize bin?
Wait a minute.
I'm just
Wait
saying.
A minute.
I'm just
that
saying.
Would be very well, unethical. That would be very
I'm
unethical.
I'm just saying there's somebody in the building that
there's some bodies.
Maybe. Well,
there's some
I understand.
Bodies in
yeah,
the building.
Yeah, but
one is producing this show right now that might like that.
Yeah, but there's no bigger Reds fan than Ryan Porth.
Elijah, defend yourself. You're a pretty big Reds fan. Oh, he's answering.
He's
answering the phone. Sorry.
Yeah, the phones are blowing up. But
yeah,
huge Reds fan.
But yeah. So, well, see, Ryan has a Pete Rose jersey that is signed by Pete Rose because I made that happen for him when I went out to Vegas and met Pete.
Oh, he's in Vegas?
He is. You didn't know that?
Oh, actually, the first time I went to Vegas, I sat at a blackjack table with Pete Rose. So, yes, I did.
I think there's a lot of people who have that very similar story.
I would say there's a long line of people.
Hey, you'll never guess who I ran into in Vegas. Pete Rose. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. How did you know?
Did I tell you that?
So I sit down at the table to get a picture with Pete. And I have a Preds pullover on. And he goes, oh, so you're a Preds fan. I said, yeah, I'm from Nashville. And, of course, he's like, well, you know, the Sounds, are they still around? They were our farm club, you know, way back when. I was like, yeah, yeah, they're still around. Got a new park. And he keeps, like, looking at the, you know, the Preds shirt. And he finally goes, so they play Minnesota tonight and tomorrow, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, huh, what do you think?
I mean, he was just curious. I mean,
just a big hockey fan.
Just hey, he's making conversation.
He's watching Chicago. He was Chicago was playing somebody, so he had like a little screen that he was watching that. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I go. So who'd you take in this one? He said Chicago. I'm feeling pretty good. So.
Yeah,
you know.
those stories that my first Willie knows I've told this story the first time I went. There also happened to be I didn't go. That's how I'm trying to think what the time for this was I don't know what, when, 06 maybe? There was a monster UFC fight that weekend. And I wasn't even into the UFC yet. And it was my first time in Las Vegas. I stayed at MGM Grand. And I think that's what was hosting the UFC. So there's all these UFC fighters. There's people everywhere. You know, Randy Couture's walking through the lobby, and all these people are chasing him around. So I went out there with some buddies of mine, and we wanted to take it all in. And one of the guys on the trip was a guy that was not afraid to not only bet, but, you know, had a lot of chips. You know, he was willing to spend, he was willing to bet a lot, you know. And so he was, when you bet a lot, you tend to get perks, right? You tend to have someone at your beck and call, right? That's how it works. And so we had that guy, and he's just like, whatever you guys want to do, just let us know, because of him, because he was betting so much. And so we're like, well, hey, let's go to Studio 54. It's here in MGM Grand. Let's go. The line was all the way out the door outside for Studio 54. He pulls up the, you know, velvet ropes. We go right in. They got a table waiting for us. We don't wait, you know. So we go into Studio 54. We have a blast. We come out, and I'm like, everybody, you know, it's like, you're not going to bed. You know, I get it. It's 2 in the morning, whatever. But you're in Vegas, especially the first time. You're not going to bed. That's not what you're here for. You're not here to get sleep. So I was like, well, I'm going to go play blackjack. And it was about 2:30, 3 in the morning. And, you know, if you've been to those casinos at Vegas, it's not empty. At 3 in the morning, it's
no,
packed.
There's no windows, no clocks.
It's packed. And it was hard to even find a table at 3 in the morning. And sure enough, I get one chair, and I sit down, and I keep looking to the left of me about three chairs over, and he's got a girl on the left side of him and a girl on the right side of him. And I keep looking at him, and I keep looking at him, and I'm like, gosh, that guy looks like Pete Rose. But he looks really old in person, really old.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he looks like he's been through it, right? He's got some miles on that body for sure. And I was like, that guy looks like Pete Rose. And it didn't take long to figure out that is Pete Rose. So, yeah, we probably sat there for 45 minutes and played blackjack, full table. It was a fun table, good dealer. We had a blast. Of course, you know, things tend to get more fun at 3 in the morning, too.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
It's a little bit looser, a little bit more fun. But, yeah, that was my first time to Vegas experience.
And the blackjack experience, when you have a cool dealer, that just makes
There's
it.
No
if,
doubt.
If you have
a dud.
Yeah, that won't interact with you, and they're just dealing cards. That's all they care about. I leave those tables.
Yeah, I do
get
too.
Up and leave.
Like, I usually do, unless I'm winning.
Well, I haven't won at those tables. Like, the whole vibe is off. And
yeah,
you know, I'm big on the vibe. So
okay, all right, we've got loaded lines. Willie, do you have the question ready?
Yes. Are you kidding?
I know.
You're talking to me. Baseball?
I know.
Come on. I'm ready.
I'm just asking.
Willie's
it's
like,
a formality.
Stop telling Pete Rose gambling stories and let me ask my questions.
I'm just reading off the teleprompter. That's what it said to say next.
I'm ready.
That was my line. Willie, do you have your question ready? Question mark? Okay. By the way, in all seriousness, let's pass along that you need to be paying attention to the weather today. There's tornado watches. I think Davidson County, a lot of counties. There's a lot of high winds. We could get some rain, a lot of rain. So just be watching the weather today. And we hear stuff, too. We will certainly pass it along. Okay. Let's see who wants a Pete Rose autographed baseball and a Nolan Ryan autographed baseball. Let's start with
two for one. This is a great
deal. I can't believe we're not splitting this up. Like, why are we not giving away two? Why are we just giving away one prize? Like, this is worthy. Each one is worthy of a prize. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, you get us started. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, Mark. Pete Rose played his entire career and had 4,256 hits. All of those came for either the Reds or the Phillies, with the exception of 72 hits for this team. He played for one other team besides the Reds and the Phillies. What was it?
So 72 hits came for the Reds and the Phillies, you said?
all but 72 hits came for the Reds and the Phillies. What was the only other team he played for besides the Reds and the Phillies?
Montreal.
You say Montreal. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
There you go, Mark.
Mark. Nicely done. Expos. A lot of people don't remember Pete Rose with the Expos.
He was only there for part of a season at age 43 in 1984, and then he got traded back to the Reds to become a player manager. And he had a nice little run there for a couple years before he became full-time manager.
Until something happened.
Do we believe he bet on the Expos? Do we believe that he bet on the Expos?
Probably.
If you believe Pete, he definitely would have never bet against his own team.
Do you think he drew the line with Montreal? Like, I'm not betting while I'm here. Cincinnati and Philly, yes, not in Montreal. All right, Mark, congratulations. You get one heck of a prize.
Thank you so much.
We'll put you on hold, get your information. Autographed Pete Rose baseball and an autographed Nolan Ryan baseball. Jeez.
Was that too easy? I feel like that was not a piece of cake there. I thought.
I mean, I knew it.
I actually had that card, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes, I did.
That's cool.
And I don't know where it is. I had that card, and I don't know where it is. I bet it's worth a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. So we did. Remember when all this started, and we had like our questions of the day, and we tweeted out like the coolest piece of memorabilia that we have. Like I had like the Richard Petty autograph, and I have a Pete Rose autograph. Is there a? And I don't know how you guys feel about autographs, but is there an autograph or something of a player that you don't have that you wish you did? Like, you're talking about these baseballs, how it'd be cool to have those. Who's a player that you would like to have a piece of memorabilia from?
I was never an autograph hound. Like Willie's son Mahoney is an autograph hound. I never was like that. I've admitted on the air before that I regret, this profession has afforded me some really cool opportunities that, I didn't think was the right thing to do, but I do have a lot of regret that I didn't take advantage of more of those opportunities by having, either photo ops or, autographs, because people do it. I mean, it's not a big deal. Yeah. I could have easily done it, but I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do. Like, you don't do that in our position. But I also regret not doing that, because I would have some really cool memories of some people that we've been around and spent time with, and I don't. So, I mean, honestly, I don't have a ton of that stuff. Not a ton like I could. I could have rooms and rooms. I could have a storage bin full of that stuff if I would have done that, but I just didn't do that. So, I mean, honestly, Chase, I could give you a whole list of people.
Sure.
Just because I don't have a lot of that stuff. I don't know how you're going to answer it.
I have a lot that I got before, because I'm the same way. Now, like Richard Petty, that was one, and I was there as a fan. I wasn't there working. And so I was in my head, I'm like, this is probably my only chance that I'm going to meet Richard Petty and be able to get his autograph, because it's so iconic and unique. I got to do it. And so I did, and I'm glad I did. But a lot of them came before, now some pictures, because a lot of times we'll have a guest in studio or at the arena or something, and there will be a photo op and we'll have that. So that's cool. Like, that I have some of those, but I hear what you're saying with that.
Well, for people that don't know, of course, it's basically faux pas, as a member of the media, you're not supposed to solicit autographs. So that takes that entire part of your life out of the picture, unless you're really sneaking behind the scenes.
Well, people, that's
I don't know too many
people
that.
Nah, they do.
If they do, they're kind of doing it on the down low. It's not a good look. It doesn't sit well with the players, either. If you're that guy, but it's funny. I shared during this time where we've had a little extra time at home, a lot of time to do stuff, digging through stuff. I found my old shoebox full of old autographs that I got as a kid, and I shared them with my son. That was a lot of fun flipping through there. I got some that I didn't even remember I had for a long time. I had some pretty good ones back in the day. I had Dr. J. I got Charles Barkley as a kid. Dominique Wilkins. A lot of baseball players. My favorite one that I got at Yankee Stadium in a mob of a crowd. Like, I had no chance. I was only like 7 years old. And I got Ron Guidry, who at the time was at the very, very top of his game. He went 25-3 one year. 25-3 with like a 1.74 ERA, dominated the game in 1978. The Yankees ended up winning the World Series. And I got his autograph in a huge mass of people at Yankee Stadium. I couldn't even see Ron Guidry. I knew he was there. I just had my arm extended with a yellow piece of paper, notebook pad, and a pencil, a pen. And he took it from me. I couldn't see him. And my hand was empty, and I kept it open, and he put it back in there. And sure enough, I had the autograph. I came running back up. I still have that piece of paper. I sent it to a buddy of mine that I went to the game with when we were kids. So that's the kind of thing that's fun for me. It's not like, what's the autograph worth, or, you know, how much money could you get for this?
No, it's not about that.
It's really the experience of getting it. Like,
that's
the game of getting it is the fun part of getting autographs.
Well, for me, I'm just saying, no, it's, of course I wouldn't, I don't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm saying it just would spark memories of stuff we've done. You know, like a
of
night
course.
We spent.
Yeah, it's the memory. It's the memory.
The night
it's
we perfect. Spent, you know, 30 minutes on the air with Jim Brown sitting at the table with us, you know? I mean, I don't even have a picture of that. Like, I can't believe I don't have a picture to remember that night. I mean, that's the stuff. It would spark memories that I don't have, unfortunately, just because, like you said, it's a little bit of a football. You just don't do that stuff. But I kind of regret that I didn't do a little bit more. This is the task for you in the next hour. I'll just go on and let the cat out of the bag. Next hour, our prize will be a Predators Winter Classic jersey. The task is for you to come up with a question that people can't Google. Okay?
Mm.
Like, you could have Googled Pete Rose and seen that he played for three teams.
That would have been easy.
You know what I mean? So let's come up with something. They're not
non-Googleable.
They're going to be put on the spot, and there's no way you could research it that fast. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. Kyle Tucker. We'll talk a little Titans with Kyle Tucker and tell you what he's up to these days. If I can spit it out, we'll do that for hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.